We're delighted to welcome Dr. Iskander this afternoon to present an update on vaccine safety. Thank you. John?
Thanks, Melinda. It is a pleasure to be here this afternoon to provide you all with this update on hot topics in vaccine safety. The Immunization Safety Office, which resides within the Division of Healthcare Quality Promotion at CDC, undertakes its mission primarily to protect public health and improve the safety of vaccines and vaccination practices. We recognize that our mission is only a part of a broader national commitment to vaccine safety. Today, I will give a brief review of the year in thimerosal, autism, and vaccines, update selected additional topics of public health importance, and look at several important new focus areas for vaccine safety science. During the past year, a CDC-sponsored study sought to replicate findings that appeared to link evidence of measles virus in gut tissues with autism and gastrointestinal symptoms. Using a case-control study method and appropriate blinding and laboratory controls, biopsy specimens seeking evidence of measles virus RNA were taken from autistic and non-autistic children. Results of the study indicated no difference in the presence of measles virus RNA between cases and controls. Onset of both autistic and GI symptoms was unrelated to the timing of MMR vaccine administration. The authors concluded that the results provided strong evidence against association between either measles virus in the gut or MMR administration with subsequent development of autism. In January, Pediatrics published the results of an Italian study which examined neuropsychological performance of two groups of children who had received acellular pertussis vaccines containing different amounts of thimerosal as part of a randomized trial conducted during the 1990s. The overall study design and results were similar to the Vaccine Safety Data Link study published in 2007. A previous finding of association between higher thimerosal exposure and tics in boys was not replicated, and the small number of positive associations with higher thimerosal exposure could be explained by chance alone. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program was established to maintain an accessible and efficient forum for individuals found to be injured by certain vaccines. The VICP is a no-fault alternative to the traditional tort system for resolving and compensating where appropriate vaccine injury claims. While only recommended childhood vaccines are covered, there is no age limit for filing a claim. The U.S. Court of Federal Claims decides who will be paid. The three parts of the federal government noted on this slide all have a role in the VICP. The Omnibus Autism Proceeding, or OAP, was created by the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program to handle the approximately 5,000 claims that vaccines induce autism. The Petitioner Steering Committee has advanced three different theories of general causation, i.e., how the vaccines involved can cause autism, in the OAP. The three theories of general causation are, number one, MMR vaccines and thimerosal-containing vaccines can combine to cause autism. Number two, thimerosal-containing vaccines can cause autism. And three, MMR vaccine alone causes autism. However, the third theory was later dropped by the PSC. During 2007, the three special masters in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims conducted hearings on the first three test cases for the first causation theory. The special master's decisions in these three cases were issued on February 12, 2009. In three separate rulings, each of the special masters ruled that the MMR vaccine, whether administered alone or in conjunction with thimerosal-containing vaccines, were not causal factors in the development of autism or autism spectrum disorders. I'm now going to move to an overview of several topics of broad interest to the vaccine community. Brief reminders about two of our core vaccine safety systems that will feature prominently in today's examples. VAERS is the nation's passive surveillance system for reporting of adverse events following immunization. Anyone who wishes to can report, and while the system has a strong track record in detecting rare adverse events, because of a variety of limitations, VAERS data needs to be interpreted cautiously. Established in 1990, the Vaccine Safety Data Link, or VSD, is a collaborative project among CDC and eight managed care organizations. The VSD utilizes administrative data at each managed care organization. Each site gathers data on vaccination, medical outcomes, birth data, and census data as part of routine provision of care. The VSD allows for planned immunization safety studies, as well as timely investigations arising from sources including reports to VAERS, changes in immunization schedules, and the introduction of new vaccines. The VSD currently provides medical and immunization histories for more than 9 million people annually, a number greater than that reflected on this slide. There's been considerable public attention concerning the safety of the quadrivalent HPV vaccine, Gardasil. Last October, ISO summarized post-licensure safety data in presentations to the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Analysis of more than 10,000 VAERS reports showed that the vast majority of reported events are classified as non-serious, and the most commonly reported events reflect expected local and systemic adverse events seen in clinical trials. Preliminary analysis from the VSD Rapid Cycle Study, which has now accumulated more than 450,000 doses, does not show associations with any of the eight serious outcomes under study for either adolescents or adults. For Guillain-Barré syndrome and anaphylaxis, which are rare clinical events, these findings are subject to power limitations. VSD findings further show no overall increase in risk for syncope following HPV vaccine compared to other adolescent vaccines. Available data from the U.S. does not support causal associations with serious neurologic conditions, although surveillance for these and other conditions of interest is ongoing. This slide provides background information on the MMRV or ProQuad vaccines licensure recommendations and planned post-licensure studies looking at febrile seizures, which are known to be associated with MMR vaccine. Please note that for reasons unrelated to safety or efficacy, MMRV vaccine is not currently being distributed in the United States. In response to findings from both VSD and industry-sponsored studies of an approximate doubling of the febrile seizure risk for MMRV compared to separate MMR and V during a biologically plausible risk window following vaccination, in February 2008, the ACIP removed the preference for the use of MMRV over separate administration of MMR and varicella vaccines, meaning vaccine providers could choose whether to use MMRV or separate vaccines. ACIP also recommended formation of an ACIP working group to further examine the evidence and develop policy options for MMRV use. This slide provides an update from the MMRV Vaccine Safety Workgroup on some of the policy options being considered for MMRV use. Further action on this issue may be forthcoming from the full ACIP later this year. In 1999, the first licensed rotavirus vaccine was withdrawn after data from VAERS, VSD, and a national study showed a markedly increased risk for intussusception, or IS, following dose one. Merck's pentavalent rotavirus vaccine, Rotatec, was licensed and recommended for use in 2006. This slide from my colleague Beth Hibbs illustrates the telescoping of one intestinal segment into another, which is involved in IS. Since 2006, careful monitoring and published data do not indicate an increased risk for IS following Rotatec. VAERS and VSD data have both served important and complementary roles, and ISO has closely collaborated on this work with rotavirus subject matter experts. This presents an important contemporary example of the role of post-licensure vaccine safety monitoring in the development of safer vaccines. In 2005, meningococcal conjugate vaccine was licensed and recommended for use. Current ACIP recommendations for Menactra are indicated on this slide. Early post-licensure monitoring indicated the possibility of a small increase in risk for Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS. This demyelinating neurologic disease has been previously linked to the 76-77 swine flu vaccine and linked more strongly to natural infections, especially Campylobacter. CDC did not change its recommendations for use of Menactra, but specified that a history of GBS should be considered a precaution. Data from VAERS and VSD through end of 2008 looked very reassuring, with no confirmed cases of GBS among more than 600,000 doses actively monitored in the VSD. While the VAERS data continue to suggest the possibility of a small increase in risk among 15 to 19-year-olds, this assessment is subject to a number of limitations and should not be considered definitive. Monitoring of this high-profile vaccine safety issue will continue using efforts in the public, private, and academic sectors. Following the December 2007 precautionary recall of more than 1 million doses of Hib vaccine, ISO conducted enhanced safety surveillance of these lots in conjunction with CDC partners and the FDA. This slide provides details of the public health response, including the dissemination of information via EpiX and the case definition used. A key goal of the investigation was to identify any post-vaccination cases of invasive bacterial infection linked to the contaminant organism. Comprehensive assessment using VAERS and laboratory methods showed no evidence of Bacillus cereus infection linked to use of any recalled lots. I'm going to now move on to briefly review several emerging activities and focus areas in ISO's work. The ISO Scientific Agenda is a plan to guide ISO's scientific work in vaccine safety for the next 5 years. It's also a roadmap to enhance ISO's ability to monitor and research vaccine safety, and a draft list of specific vaccine safety research needs. One of the driving forces behind this agenda was a recommendation from the 2005 IOM report, which is featured on this slide. To develop the agenda, ISO listed all the studies we are doing and are doing now, and key studies done in the past, and then asked expert scientists and physicians what other studies are important to do. CDC then asked the National Vaccine Advisory Committee, NVAC, to review the ISO draft scientific agenda and give advice before CDC finalizes the agenda. Public participation is an integral part of the NVAC review process. This slide, as well as the next one, lists specific vaccine safety hypotheses that are part of the draft ISO scientific agenda. The Vaccine Analytic Unit is a unique collaboration between CDC and the Department of Defense that conducts planned epidemiologic vaccine safety studies on anthrax vaccine and other vaccine commonly used in the DoD. ISO is currently building collaborations with the VAU. For those of you who are interested, VAU staff have three posters of their work on display in the exhibit hall, and I would encourage you to seek those for further information. A brief note about our work in pandemic influenza and emergency preparedness. ISO is working with the 62 project area vaccine safety coordinators on training and communications issues, as well as partnering with some of them to conduct novel user-generated active surveillance for seasonal influenza vaccines. Please refer to the abstract for session E1 if you'd like additional information about that activity. The laboratory study featured on this slide followed up on an Institute of Medicine recommendation and demonstrates in an animal model a mechanism by which influenza vaccines might trigger development of antibodies associated with Guillain-Barré syndrome. This is preliminary work, of course, and additional directions for this research are being sought. During the past year, the Clinical Immunization Safety Network, or CISA, published this algorithm for management of hypersensitivity following vaccines. This clinical decision support tool is one example of CDC responding to something we hear very commonly from providers, which is the desire for additional vaccine safety support for clinicians, which goes beyond simply the availability of an adverse event reporting system. This slide features a VSD study on MMR vaccine and thrombocytopenia, or ITP. It was published about 1 year ago. It demonstrates the ability of VSD to not only study cause and effect, but also to quantify risk in several important ways, as well as to provide reassuring data on the natural history of a rare vaccine-associated illness. In my view, what makes this a new frontier is recognition from FDA and from other key partners of how useful a model the VSD might be for broader health, public health initiative involving drug or other medical product safety monitoring. Stay tuned. The past several years have seen increased societal attention to medical errors, along with an increasingly complex immunization schedule and publications which have highlighted various types of vaccine administration errors. This data from VAERS, collected over a 21-month period, shows the wide range of administration errors reported. First, I'd like to draw your attention to prevention of such errors. Both CDC and the Immunization Action Coalition offer a wide variety of educational and training resources about vaccine administration. The systems listed on this page all accept reports of medication errors, including vaccine administration errors. The data presented here, published in the MMWR, highlight another potentially preventable adverse event, post-vaccination syncope. The apparent overall increase in post-vaccination syncope appears to be confirmed by preliminary data from the VSD. While further study is needed, these data highlight the need to observe the recommended 15-minute waiting period for all vaccines in all ages. This slide summarizes key prevention recommendations from the ACIP general recommendations. I imagine we might have a nurse or two in the audience. And so my nursing colleagues at CDC, Beth Hibbs and Elaine Miller and others who have really been leaders on this issue, reminded me that this is very similar to what are called the five rights. The right medication delivered to the right patient in the right dose by the right route at the right time. So in conclusion, I would like to say that the U.S. maintains a large and comprehensive post-licensure safety monitoring system whose continued success is vital to the immunization enterprise as a whole. Newer vaccine safety initiatives include clinical, laboratory and prevention components. The challenges are many, and I do not wish to understate them. However, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "This time, like all times, is a very good time if we but know what to do with it." I'd like to acknowledge the extraordinary colleagues whose work is at the foundation of this presentation. The ISO website and the HPV subsite are good resources for general information, as are the ACIP and NCIRD websites. Thank you.